Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
You may have heard about harmful so-called forever chemicals. They are everywhere, in our waterproof jackets and shoes, pizza boxes, dental floss. Well, this class of chemicals is known by the acronym PFAS, P-F-A-S, and linked to some cancers and birth defects. Well, the EPA now wants to limit PFAS in our drinking water. Here's EPA head Michael Regan yesterday.
This is a tremendous step forward in the right direction. We anticipate that when fully implemented, this rule will prevent thousands of deaths and reduce tens of thousands of serious PFAS-related illnesses.
Award-winning reporter Sharon Lerner has been covering this for years. She's at the investigative journalism organization ProPublica, and before that, The Intercept. Sharon, hello.
Hi.
Stepping back, these PFAS chemicals are believed to be in all of our bloodstreams. How have they gone from factory to consumer product into our bodies?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? All of us have these chemicals in our blood. Companies began making them in the 1950s. They were used in the beginning in products like Scotchgard and Teflon. And some of the chemicals seeped out of the industrial factories that were where they were made and got into water. And sometimes some of the chemicals have leach from consumer products. And eventually it got to the point, and actually by the 1950s where and 60s, where most people had them in their blood and trace them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now the EPA is proposing to limit these chemicals in our drinking water to very low levels, below detectable levels. Is this an aggressive move by the regulators?
Well, yes and no. And I should say there some they can be detected at the levels that they're talking about, but not by everyone.
So okay.
There is equipment that can find them at 4 parts per trillion, which is the level that's been proposed for drinking water.
I mean, do you find this, compared to, say, other regulators in the world, is this a very kind of aggressive move here?
Yeah, to get to your question. So it is aggressive in that it's highly unusual for EPA to regulate a chemical as in, using the Safe Drinking Water Act, and that's unfortunate because there are plenty of drinking water contaminants. So it's been decades, and it is a really big deal, and I agree with Michael Regan, the administrator of the EPA, that it is definitely a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the class of chemicals to which PFOA and PFOS belong, which are the two chemicals that they've set drinking water standards for, are the class contains thousands. And so when you look at a proposal that was just put forward in the EU, they actually in contrast, propose banning the production, use, and sale of about 10,000 PFAS.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, I've read in some of the Sharon is in your reporting that there's this history of these chemicals. There are new derivatives, new versions of it, still on the market. So if you don't regulate most of them, is the government just playing whack-a-mole here?
Well, that's the fear, right? And so the EPA was first alerted to the presence of these chemicals in late 1999, around 2000, by an attorney named Rob Lott, who was suing DuPont over them. And he has been, you know, screaming since then for regulation. And so what happened in 2006 was that EPA reached a voluntary agreement with some companies to phase out some PFAS. But these were compounds that were based on, there were certain ones that were based on a chain of 8 carbons or longer. And what happened was very quickly, even before the deadline for phasing them out, the companies had phased in replacements that were very similar but shorter. And it turned out that these replacements cause some of the same problems. And we know that all of the compounds, whether they're long or short, they last pretty much forever in the environment. They just don't break down.
And Sharon, quickly, we've got about kind of 30 seconds. There is a principle in many environmental laws of polluters pay. In this case, is it the historic companies behind these products? Who's going to pay for this, bear the cost?
Oh, that's the big question, right? So already you're seeing pushback from water purveyors and from the companies that make these chemicals about the cost. And I think that if you step back from it for a minute, and you, it does seem like the people who put the companies who put the chemicals in the water should be responsible for the cost. And I think what the EPA is saying here is that they, you know, that we're going to come down on this. We're going to use health as a way to decide that these chemicals cannot be in drinking water anymore. And okay, as you said, the question is who pays.
Sharon Lerner is a reporter for ProPublica, and before that, The Intercept. Sharon, thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks for talking to me.